is 91.7 WVXU Cincinnati Edition. I'm Marianne Zalesnik. The Oasis Rail Transit Project is one part of the proposed Eastern Corridor program, but not everyone is aware of what it could mean to the region. We're going to talk today about the project. Then later in the show, we'll hear about the final hours in the life of a Bardstown police officer killed on the job a year ago. Still no arrests have been made. But first, joining me to talk about the Oasis Rail Transit Project are Hamilton County Commissioner Todd Portune and Ohio, Kentucky, Indiana Regional Council of Governments Deputy Executive Director Robert Kaler. You can join the conversation by calling 513-419-7100, 513-419-7100, or email us talk@wvxu.org. You also can find us on Facebook and Twitter. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Glad to have you both here. I'd like to start out really just explaining briefly what this whole project is. And Mr. Kaler, maybe you can start. What is the Oasis Rail Transit Project?
Well, Marianne, the Oasis Rail Transit Project is a component of the Eastern Corridor Project that OKI studied for many years. We completed a major study in the year 2000. Now, through the years, the project has advanced. As I said, it's a major transportation improvement program for Hamilton County, connecting downtown Cincinnati to western Claremont County. It includes a number of components: highway, rail transit, bicycle, and pedestrian improvements.
Anything you'd like to add?
Yeah, well, the Oasis Rail segment of it is one of four key elements of the Eastern Corridor, which it affects directly about 135,000 people, 17 political jurisdictions. It connects, as Robert said, downtown Cincinnati to Claremont County. It has a regional impact, though, and it's one of the reasons why OKI has been as supportive of the project as it has as well, because we look for all of this to reduce vehicle miles traveled, to help the region to attain clean air standards and attainment standards. And it's also going to get cars off the road, especially in northern Kentucky in I-471, and help to reduce some of that congestion coming on into downtown Cincinnati and then going home in the peak travel times morning, afternoon. So it has a regional impact, and the rail segment of that is part of the broader regional rail network. This would be the introduction of passenger commuter rail, connecting people between two counties and individual stops along the way. But there are several other opportunities to introduce passenger rail service. The Wasson Line, the so-called Blue Ash Line going on up into Sharonville, the Central Indiana Line going west to Dearborn County. And then an element of the conversation as well has always included new build express service from downtown to the airport.
Now, I was corrected earlier in our promotions. We were calling it light rail, and that's not right. What's the difference between light rail and what this is?
The recommended preferred alternative includes a diesel multiple unit, a DMU as it's known. And it's a diesel-powered, self-contained locomotive which can have multiple cars. But the nice thing is it's very modern. It's streamlined. It's good-looking. It's quiet. And it's not a diesel belching monster rolling down the, you know, through the neighborhoods. It's very clean by today's standards. It's required to be. All new products that are produced have to meet the EPA emission standards. So we're looking at this as a really nice addition, both clean, good looking, technologically advanced, all those things good for our neighborhoods, good to move people, comfortable for the passengers. So we're real excited about this.
Yeah, it's really a sleek-looking vehicle, and there are the modern technology also includes hybrid engines that operate on diesel as well as battery-operated. So especially when you're getting into your densely populated areas where quiet is key, they have the opportunity to operate on battery as well. So that attains an even greater element of quiet that is important to people.
Now, one of the things that this does is uses some existing tracks. Tell us about the tracks that are out there and what would have to be built.
Well, let's look at the Oasis rail line first, where you've got tracks that run roughly from the Montgomery Inn Boathouse in downtown Cincinnati, and then that goes due east all the way to Milford in Claremont County. It's intersected by the Wasson Line, which is another important rail, bike, pedestrian corridor from Xavier University on out to Eastgate in Claremont County. And one of the reasons why we're looking at this, Marianne, is because when you're taking advantage of existing track and right-of-way that is either owned outright or controlled, you don't have to buy that. You don't have to lay the track. It's a much more cost-effective way to introduce passenger rail service than all new build, which requires all new acquisition. So on the Oasis Rail, and our first leg of this is probably going to run from downtown to Fairfax, would stop in at the Fairfax level while we're working out other elements within the corridor. But you have track and right-of-way that entire stretch until you get to the boathouse. So the only new build would be going from the boathouse into the downtown intermodal transit center that was built during the Fort Washington Way reconstruction project back in the late 90s. So roughly about a mile of new build, and the rest of it being upgrading the existing track and some maintenance, signal crossings, things of that nature in terms of your improvement.
A couple other improvements would be necessary. The bridges would have to be inspected and probably a little bit of alignment improvement through those sections so that they operate more effectively and more directly. But for the most part, the right-of-way is there, which is, and by today's challenges for all transportation projects, significant. It's always difficult to get right-of-way, so we're in pretty good shape as far as that goes.
Our phone number is 513-419-7100 if you have a question or a comment. Bill's calling from Madisonville. Hi, Bill.
Hi, how are you today?
Good. What's your question?
Well, it's more of a comment. I just, I've long been a big supporter of the idea of having a regional light rail commuter and streetcar system in the region, and I voted for that proposal, the Metro Moves, in 2002, which I know Commissioner Portune was very strongly in support of. But it just strikes me that now that the streetcar project is going forward, it's being built to what they call light rail specs, which means that it can run multiple cars, street level, in over the Rhine and downtown where it's going. And the great thing about it, it's a north-south alignment, which means that at its northern end, it's very close to Interstate 75. And the state, is, as it improves Interstate 75 over the next few years, and of course those plans are going forward, it's my understanding they're going to create a light rail right-of-way in that project. And so I think because there's much denser population in the Mill Creek Valley from downtown up to Sharonville and Westchester, when we start light rail, the first one logically would be just to extend light rail off the north end of the streetcar line.
So you're thinking that this is not the best location to be focusing on?
No, I don't think it's the right place to start. The traffic numbers that they're projecting are really low. There aren't many existing employers along this path. Like, you've got GE and Evendale, you've got Ivorydale, you have large employers in Westchester. You don't have that along the Eastern Corridor.
Let's let the guests respond to your concerns there. Commissioner
Sure.
Portune, do you want to start?
Well, I appreciate what Bill has to say, and he's been very active in this discussion for a very long period of time. I guess our take on this is that you don't have to do any one thing exclusively, and I think our region is big enough that you don't have to limit. We don't have to limit ourselves to just one mass transit project at any one given time. The beauty of all this, our approach to this, is the seamless integration of multiple modes of public transportation, of public mass transit. The ridership out the Eastern Corridor from downtown to Claremont County may not be as great as it is in some areas, but it certainly justifies the work that we're doing and the investment that we're making. And when you compare it to other similar systems, it fits right about roughly in the middle in terms of ridership. And that was just based on weekday ridership, not your evening ridership or weekend or special events. And that's something that's rather unique about this system and where it terminates in the downtown area as well, right in the epicenter of the banks, an area where you have 4 million visitors that are coming annually to that area. And those numbers aren't included in any of the ridership numbers that have been out there at all. So our approach is, both through Hamilton County, the Board of Commissioners, the County Transportation Improvement District, and the funding partners on the Eastern Corridor, and then OKI, has been to promote public transit initiatives that serve the region, that can work well together, that can be integrated seamlessly. And the fact of the matter is, both what's being done with the streetcar and how it could be extended in a north-south alignment and what's being done in the Eastern Corridor on the Oasis Line, those can integrate very well together.
Bill, thanks so much for your call. Mr. Kaler, did you want to add anything?
No, I think Commissioner Portune covered it well.
We got a call from Tom who says, well, this will take care of the east side. What if any plans are in place for the west side of town? So you don't only have people that maybe don't want it. Other people think it should be everywhere.
Well, and we agree. And we agree. This is the first leg of what is part of a larger regional rail program. There are approximately four key rail lines that lend themselves very well to the introduction of this same type of service. One of them runs due west from downtown, where a track of a similar nature terminates at about the Longworth Hall area, just to the west of downtown, and then extends all the way west to Dearborn County, Indiana. We also have the Wasson line that I mentioned earlier that runs from Xavier University's campus in the west to Eastgate in Claremont County and has a great opportunity for both a rail trail, a bike trail corridor. There is track that runs north from the Xavier area on up into Sharonville. Sharonville has been banking on service along that corridor through their Northern Lights program and plans to develop an anchor station in the Sharonville community as a part of this. And Xavier University is banking on that as well in terms of the development of a new student transit center on the campus of Xavier University. So we're looking at all of those lines as being presenting the opportunity to be added to the Eastern Corridor, including service due west. And with that in place, I think we're going to have tremendous public appetite to fill out the system in terms of other north-south as well as western alignments and then express service to the airport at CVG.
Got a call from Jennifer who actually Facebook comments. She would like to know what the yearly operating costs of something like this will be.
We anticipate at this point, not knowing all the details just yet in terms of how many miles of trackage we'll need, because in many of the through much of the corridor, we'll just need a single track. But in several locations, especially near the stations, you'll need to double track it so that trains coming from an opposite direction obviously can pass each other and so on and so forth. But we're looking right now at about $3.5 million per year to operate the basic peak hour service. And that service that would be every 30 minutes to run from Milford to downtown, taking on average about 29 minutes to make that trip. And some midday service, a couple trips each day during the midday, and then, of course, the p.m. peak, primarily serving the outbound traffic.
And would you also, as Commissioner Portune mentioned, for special events, would you have extra trains running at those times? Or
yes, but that would not include or be included in the $3.5 million. It would be additional funds required to operate additional service.
And it would take 30 minutes to get from downtown to the end of the route to Milford.
That's correct.
Mm-hmm. But, of course, when you add that additional service, Marianne, and we're talking about potential evening service throughout the week and then weekend service, given the fact that the Banks area that has been developed, phase one is complete, phase two is beginning to be under construction. You have entertainment going on 7 days a week in that area, and then, of course, you have major entertainment taking place through the festivals that occur in the downtown area and also the events, 81 games at Great American Ballpark, 10 or more at Paul Brown Stadium. You've got another 60-plus events per year or more at U.S. Bank Arena, 4 million visitors annually, 12 months a year coming down in that vicinity that would be served as well. And with all those additional individuals that would be served through the Eastern Corridor Oasis Line, that segment of those attendees that would benefit from that. While there are additional operating costs, of course, with the additional persons riding, you have the ability to reduce what the fares are per capita because you've got all that additional ridership. And that has not been factored into the numbers that have been posted so far, which are just your weekday peak travel during the weekdays.
If you have a question or a comment, 513-419-7100. We're talking about the Oasis Rail Transit Project, and my guests are Hamilton County Commissioner Todd Portune and Ohio, Kentucky, Indiana Regional Council of Governments Deputy Executive Director Robert Kaler. What's the status right now? It sounds like this is perhaps a big dream. Is there anything in place right now? Is it going to happen for sure? Is it on the drawing board? Where does the project stand?
Well, Bob, you and I can both answer this. It's certainly not just a dream. This has been under study, under review, and under work for a very long period of time. The entire process involving the Eastern Corridor, including the Oasis Rail segment of it, we had the original MIS study that was done that led to the Tier 1 process under the federal NEPA process, which has been completed. We're now entering the Tier 2 process of all of that. With respect to the Oasis Rail component, we just went through a series of public involvement meetings with respect to stations and station area development, where we've identified what those stations should look like, where perhaps is the best location for them, how many stations should there be along the route, and exactly where should they be. But we're moving forward toward completion of the Tier 2 process and the identification of preferred alternatives, which I believe will be done either by the end of this year or first quarter 2015. And we can then move forward into the final design, engineering, and construction phase of this. So tremendous amount of work has been done. We resolved half a year ago. We were hopeful that we might be able to have service operational by the All-Star Game 2015. That was certainly, I think, an optimistic vote of confidence in the project, and I would assume that everything went extremely well and that we might be able to do it without the need for any federal money in the project. But I think at the end of the day, we've acknowledged that both federal money will be important as well as the federal process won't allow us to meet that timeline. But it's not inconceivable that we could be within 4 years of the introduction of service.
Right now we're on schedule to have some public involvement meetings regarding the station area planning. This project will only work if it's integrated into the neighborhoods. And time and time again, the folks in the Eastern Corridor and along the way, along the proposed route, have stated their interest in the project. And we'll be reaching out to them to understand what they think they'd like to see in the transit stations, the kind of designs they'd like to see involved in the project. So that's in February of this year, and we're on target to meet that. So things are moving quite well right now.
You talked about federal money being needed. What's the overall cost of this, and where does all the money come from?
We haven't figured all that out yet, Mary Ann. Now, the first phase we're looking at is downtown to Fairfax. So the track itself, the new track construction, the track upgrade, those elements of it, as well as the purchase of the rail cars, we have estimates of between $52 to $68 million. On top of that, then, you have the station construction. We're looking at most of the development of the station projects as being public-private partnerships between the public partners and private developers, as is permitted under new legislation that was adopted by the Ohio General Assembly in terms of being able to cover a lot of the cost of that. When we were looking at just the track and the car, the purchase of the vehicle-related construction, the state of Ohio met with us and talked about the availability of a state infrastructure bank loan to cover all of those costs, and the conversation focused on whether the county or others had the ability to underwrite that debt service, which would be between $2.5 and $3 million a year, the debt service on that. So we're looking at all those different pieces in terms of filling out the puzzle on where the federal funding comes from, but final decisions have not yet been made with respect to that.
I'd like to add that the Ohio Department of Transportation is officially the project manager, but the Hamilton County TIDs, of which Commissioner Portune is the point person there, the chairman, as well as Claremont County TID and OKI are involved. But I kind of like to commend ODOT for their leadership, and they've identified an independent agency that will help corral, if you will, all the federal agencies so that we can get Federal Highway, Federal Transit Administration, the Army Corps of Engineers, the National Park System, all on board at the same time to help with the environmental reviews to make sure that they don't sit there and time doesn't get lost. So we're pushing hard to make that happen, and ODOT's leading the charge on that one.
513-419-7100 is our number. Van's calling from Marymount. Hi, Van.
Hello.
Hi, what's your question?
I'm wondering how closely the rail portion of this Eastern Corridor project is tied with the highway that they want to run through Marymount.
It's a great question, Van. I'm glad you raised it because probably the greatest area of controversy in this project has been the proposed alternative State Route 32 roadway segment of it and how that runs either adjacent to or near Marymount as well as Newtown. We have approached this project in such a way that the various segments of it can be separated and operate based upon their own merit and on their own timetable. Now, at the end of the day, the belief is that if you have everything done together, that it can produce greater benefit for communities and for the counties and for the region that's involved. After all, this is being looked at not just as a transportation project, but as a project where you use transportation enhancements to promote sound decisions with respect to land use planning and community development and community empowerment. But that really is the key to the question that you've asked, because the roadway elements of this will not work if they don't work well for the communities that are affected and are involved. So ODOT came out with one suggestion that is not only very controversial, it's opposed by Marymount, it's opposed by Newtown. Frankly, I individually oppose the proposal that would go through the South 80 acreage in Marymount. And we are approaching this in the same way in which we worked very, very hard with the community of Madisonville and the city of Cincinnati. In encouraging the development of a community advisory committee so that the solutions come forward from the ground up. 2.5 years ago, Madisonville was as opposed to things that were on the table there as Marymount is with respect to the roadway item that's being discussed that you are concerned about. Today, we've made great improvements in Madisonville and have broad consensus around the low-impact build that will be done. And I feel very confident that that's where we're going to end up with Marymount and with Newtown as well. So the items can be separated. They work well if they work together. But at the end of the day, they don't work at all if they don't work for the benefit of the communities. And that's my position. That's frankly the position of the funding partners of this project.
Van, anything else?
I certainly wouldn't want to speak for other people in Marymount, but I think a lot of people would have no problem with a rail system going there. It's already, the rail is there, as you have said. But we're very opposed to a road coming through wetlands and historical Indian land and, frankly, you know, our park system that runs through the city of Marymount. And my question is, can one happen without the other? And I heard...
Yes, they can. One can happen without the other.
Excuse me?
Yes. The answer is yes. One can happen. One is able to happen without the other. Yes.
Okay, yeah. And
Van,
you mentioned ODOT. Like, you know, we all know what they want. And I just wondered, you know, how much influence they were going to have on that. But, yeah, you did answer my question, if one can happen without the other.
Van, thanks so much for your call. We appreciate it.
Well, I'd like to also add, Marianne, if I may, with respect to ODOT, because it was ODOT's suggestion as to one alternative for that roadway that did generate the controversy. But to ODOT's credit, ODOT's been a great partner in this project overall, and with respect to the Madisonville issues, where there was a lot of concern as well, ODOT really took the lead, and they worked very closely with the community. They have identified a variety of other options that have resulted in consensus being generated about what's going to happen there. And I truly believe that ODOT's going to take the same approach with respect to the discussions and where we end up with respect to this State Route 32 issue as well.
I fully agree.
We're going to go now to Gwen in Northside. Hi, Gwen. Gwen?
Yes, hi.
Hi, what's your question?
I'm wondering what happens when the people get to the downtown transit center. Will there be, like, flexible circular buses and vans and stuff to connect with the transit center so that the people from the Eastern Corridor could work, like, OTR or, you know, around the area?
Well, that's absolutely, Gwen. I mean, that's the ultimate plan and vision here is that downtown's not just The transit center is not just a destination point, but it becomes also a point of embarkation to other areas where people want to go. So now that the city is doing the streetcar project, you have first and foremost, you've got the integration of the regional rail component coming into the transit center downtown with the streetcar, and it has to come into the transit center downtown so people can make connections to the extent that they want to. How broadly that system can be expanded, or whether you bring in other circular options such as the hop-on Cincy trolley proposal that is complementary to the streetcar program, not adversary to it, that goes to areas that the streetcar does not go. It's those types of things that we're very open to and willing to work with any manner of proposals that ultimately will result in as broad-based and seamless a public mass transit system that we can get that can reliably and affordably get people to where they want to go.
Gwen, thanks for your call. One more quick call. This is from Carol in Northern Kentucky. Hi, Carol. What's your question?
Hello.
Yes, go right ahead.
I was wondering, where there isn't already rail service, is there ever any consideration of using interstate land that is already owned by the government?
Mr. Kaler?
Well, we've explored that to some extent, or sort of has. They're usually in the shoulder of I-71 during the peak period. Whenever speeds drop below a certain level, I believe it's 35 miles an hour, they're allowed by law to drive on the shoulder to bypass congestion. And to the extent that occurs, it's happening now in 71, and I expect that will expand into the future. I don't see anything happening in the medians because it's just too expensive to get vehicles and trackage and so on and so forth into that median and then back out to get to the interchanges. That's just not practical. And besides, as you see, as we go through and expand more freeways, we're running out of that space anyway. If you go up and down Interstate 75 from downtown, there's no median until you get to roughly General Electric. So that's going by the wayside. And in fact, we may be exploring use of those options during peak periods for any number of vehicle types, including automobiles, in the future. There are some engineering details that need to be worked out. But, yeah, that's a possibility. If we can do it for buses, if we can do it for automobiles and trucks eventually, if the situation is correct, we possibly could do it for the shoulders, but probably not the medians, not the inside part.
Carol, thanks for your call.
Just to add to that, Carol, with respect to what SORTA has been studying with a coalition of pro-public transit partners has been the whole concept of bus rapid transit as well. We've got an express service that SORTA introduced already from Montgomery into downtown Cincinnati. Now, you know, that's not using interstate medians, but it is an express service using bus with a different type of a vehicle that's very, very attractive, and that service has been widely proclaimed as being successful, and it's increased ridership. There are about five other corridors that are being looked at with respect to bus rapid transit. I know the I-471 corridor was one where it has also been studied. So there are any one of a number of options that are being pursued to provide additional transit options to, again, help people get to where they want to go reliably and affordably.
In about the 60 seconds we have left, Bill wrote on Facebook, have any real studies been done to determine how much economic development this will bring to the eastern area?
Simple answer is yes. And I know that through the whole Eastern Corridor process and the funding partners, there's been extensive economic development study that has been done, and the final product of that is about to be released. What it does, though, is it does show that there is a tremendous return on investment and certainly sufficient return on investment to justify the investment that we anticipate making.
I have more questions, but we're out of time. I want to thank you both for being here today. I appreciate it.
It's Marion, thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
We've been talking about the Oasis Rail Transit Project. My guests today were Hamilton County Commissioner Todd Portune and Ohio, Kentucky, Indiana Regional Council of Governments Deputy Executive Director Robert Kaler.